Like Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. I don't need to tell you, it's been a cold winter. December was 5.5 degrees below normal, and so far January is almost 8 degrees below what's typical. But consider this, even as you take off your scarf and your earmuffs and your wool socks. Data now shows that 2013 was the fourth warmest year in the world since records have been kept, and it was the 37th straight year that global temperatures exceeded their average. George Stone teaches natural sciences at Milwaukee Area Technical College and joins us from time to time to talk about climate change issues. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mitch. It's great to be back.
As we're having this conversation, I think it is maybe 10 below zero in downtown Milwaukee. Why would you contend it's important to be talking about climate change right now when we're having what is the coldest winter in recent memory in Milwaukee?
Well, I think there are two important reasons, Mitch. One is people shouldn't get the impression that this means that the warming of the planet has slowed down or reversed. That's very important to make that point. And number two, a great many climate scientists believe that this cold polar vortex, a phrase that we've become familiar with of late, is actually a result, although it's counterintuitive, but is actually a result of global warming, particularly warming of the Arctic.
Well, we'll get into that in just a moment, but let me ask you this. I mean, you're someone who's talked about these issues for a long time. It must be somewhat frustrating to you to have to say every time there's a cold snap that this does not mean the end of climate change.
Well, it is, but I'm used to it now, Mitch. For one thing, deniers or those who, for one reason or another, refuse to accept the evidence, the reality of global warming, will seize on every weather event which seems at first blush to be counter to the trend. They'll seize on that to say, aha, where's your global warming now? So I'm just used to that. I think people who understand the climate system and who are at least somewhat knowledgeable about it realize that extreme weather events will be on the increase as a result of global warming, and know that also there's natural climate variability, which is independent of the long-term trend of global warming. And so we're going to get major cold snaps like this. But to be more specific again, many climate scientists believe that these Arctic outbreaks of late are actually a result of global warming due to the warming of the Arctic, disruption of the polar circulation called the polar vortex.
Well, yeah, connect the dots for us, because it does seem counterintuitive, the idea that, you know, it's 10 below zero in Milwaukee and below zero temperatures are widespread across certainly the northern half of the United States. How is that connected to a greater warming in the climate?
Well, a long-term, again, it's due to warming of the Arctic, and the Arctic is warming faster than any other place on the planet. The average temperature has increased 5 degrees Fahrenheit over the past 50 years, and in some cases as much as 7 degrees, which is really a huge amount of average warming. The sea ice, as many people know, over the Arctic Ocean has been getting thinner and smaller in extent annually. But the effect that causes these cold snaps is a disruption of the polar vortex. Now, the polar vortex is a counterclockwise circulation around low pressure just south of the coldest air, the Arctic high. And when that polar vortex is disrupted, as it has been by the warming of the Arctic, then that cold air in the Arctic can break through. The polar vortex kind of acts like a fence, in a sense, that holds the cold air in the polar region. But when that polar vortex is weakened, as it has been in the last couple of winters, then that cold air in the Arctic can break loose and swing way farther south. And the jet stream, which follows the boundary of that cold air mass, swings way far south. And in fact, this latest cold outbreak extends all the way down to northern Florida.
Well, and we should also mention that at the same time we're having these remarkably cold temperatures in Wisconsin and across the United States, there are some remarkably warm temperatures in the Southern Hemisphere.
Well, absolutely right. We have to remember, we tend to be kind of geocentric and think that the United States is the whole planet, when actually the surface area of the United States is less than 2%, 1.9% of the entire planet. So what happens here is not representative of the whole planet. The planet continues to warm. In fact, the year 2013 was the fourth warmest on record. November was the warmest November ever recorded. December was the third warmest December ever recorded. So what's happening in the United States is not representative of the whole planet. And as you point out, there are record heat waves in Australia. Those who follow tennis know that the Australian Open was disrupted by excessive heat, over in excess of 110 degrees, so that the players couldn't continue. California now is experiencing its longest drought in history and unusually warm temperatures. So this is kind of a blip. And let me add that one reason that we're taking such note of this cold outbreak is that we've had unusually warm winters for a long time. I can remember just a few years ago, we broke the record for consecutive months above zero. I think we went something like 3 years without ever going below zero, which is extremely unusual. I've been around here for a long time. I can remember back when we had what we like to call real Wisconsin winters. January 17th, 1982, Milwaukee hit 26 below zero. I was living out near West Bend at the time. It was 30 below zero out there. Then again in 1996, the same date. I remember that date because it was my mother's birthday. January 17th, 1996, again, Milwaukee hit 26 below zero. This morning, we're 10 below, 11, 13 below, and we think it's a really big deal. But we're just getting used to this much milder winter regime, and so when we do get a cold outbreak, it seems much worse than it otherwise would have.
There's also some news within just the last week that some of the corporate interests are paying attention to climate change. Coca-Cola announced that climate change has had a real disruption in the way they do business in other parts of the world. What does the corporate world's sudden interest in global climate change mean for the overall discussion of the subject?
Well, I think it means that we will be able to really address, since they're recognizing the problem, it will mean that we'll be able to address the problem and get some meaningful measures passed, not only nationally in this country, but internationally, where it's, since it's a global problem, that's where action is really needed. So it's a good thing. One of the reasons they're recognizing the impacts of climate change is that their insurance rates are going way up. Munich Re, one of the biggest insurance companies in the world, issued a report to their annual report last year indicating that the last 3 or 4 decades have seen a great increase in extreme weather and climate events. And the billions of dollars of insurance that they have to pay out has skyrocketed, so they have to raise their premiums. The World Bank, just this past fall, issued a major report underlining these same effects, that extreme weather and climate events are on the increase. They're going to continue to be on the increase. It's going to be more and more costly. And then, of course, the precipitation patterns are changing. Sea level is rising. Heat waves and prolonged droughts are affecting agriculture. So many of the supply chain positions for these major corporations are feeling the impacts. And I think it's finally, you know, we're going to get some action because of this result.
We talk about climate change a lot in terms of tipping points. Is there an economic tipping point? Do you feel like we're on the cusp of economic forces driving some change?
Yes, in some parts of the world. Unfortunately, well, you can say unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your point of view. In the United States, we're experiencing a fossil fuel boom, primarily due to the success of the new technology called hydraulic fracturing or fracking, and that has greatly increased the supply of natural gas. We're now becoming natural gas exporters rather than importers for the first time. It's reduced the price of natural gas. This is having a negative impact in the development of renewable energy. And incidentally, we'll be talking about all these subjects at the Sustainability Summit on March 26 and 27. But that's kind of a positive impact for this country's economy, but it's delaying action. And it's softening the position of the climate scientists who are telling us that we need to transition away from fossil fuels to clean technology and green energy, renewable energy.
Well, George Stone, we will chat, I'm sure, as the Sustainability Summit draws nearer. But right now, thank you so much and stay warm.
Thank you. Same to you, Mitch. And I look forward to our next talk.
George Stone teaches natural sciences at Milwaukee Area Technical College, and he's organizer of the annual Sustainability Summit scheduled for this March at the Wisconsin Center in downtown Milwaukee. He also joins us now and then to talk about climate change. A priceless violin is stolen in a Milwaukee armed robbery. We'll listen to a 2008 interview about the instrument when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.